Now today, in our study from the book of Genesis, we again turn to chapter 43. In our previous study, we looked at the opening section of this chapter, and we saw there how that Jacob had to face the problem, how he sent his sons back down again into Egypt to buy more corn. I pointed out that it was a turning point in the life of old Jacob. Now, when we come to the latter portion of this chapter, here is what we find. Verse 15 says, "And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph." Now, I suggested to you in our last study that when Jacob saw his sons depart and his youngest boy, Benjamin, going with the older brothers, it must have rent his heart, thinking again of the day when Joseph went out and he never saw him again. 22 years have passed since that event, but the sore is still there. Now he sees Benjamin going out. And I suggested to you that I think that Jacob went in before God and would have a time of prayer. I base that idea on what is said in verse 14, where speaking to his sons he said, "God Almighty, give you mercy before the man." In plain words, he has laid the whole case in the hands of God, and now he's got to exercise some patience and wait and see what God will do. And so in verse 15, at the end of the verse, his sons have arrived again down in Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. This is the part then we're looking at today. I call it Feasting with Joseph the Prince. The first part of the chapter, it was facing the problem. Now it's feasting with Joseph the Prince. But there are three things in particular that we might stress here. First of all, we must examine the fear of Joseph's brethren. These men were trembling with fear as they were called upon to stand in the presence of Joseph. Then after that time of fear, there is a little part of the chapter dealing with what we would call the feast, when they were sitting with Joseph and eating this meal that was prepared for them. And there is the feast with its setting of beauty. And then there's a final portion we ought to examine, and that is the favor that was shown to Benjamin. Now, first of all, let me remind you that we have stressed this, that Joseph was a young man that seemed to show a great amount of wisdom. In one of our prior studies, we mentioned he was a young man marked by purity. And it was obvious he was a young man who was moved with the fear of God. He's a young man of knowledge, a young man with spiritual wisdom. And here again, when his brethren come to see him, you'll discover he acted with much wisdom. You see, at this point, I remind you again that Joseph has reached a place of imperial supremacy. He's got the power in his grasp, and his brethren are at his mercy. Now, no doubt Joseph remembered how they treated him. Joseph also remembered what God had revealed to him. And now the time has come that God has kept his promise. Joseph is in the place of power. He's occupying the seat of authority. And his brethren who had scorned him, his brethren who had caused him to suffer, his brethren who had sold him down into Egypt, are now before him begging corn in order to live. Now Joseph has got to deal with his brethren. Now remember, if he deals with them righteously, then they shall be punished for their wrongdoing. But if, on the other hand, he deals with them sentimentally, then the whole matter will simply be brushed aside and forgotten, but not properly dealt with. But if he deals with them graciously, then the whole matter must be brought to the light and fully confessed, because a matter of this nature could never really be settled until it was settled right. You see, there's a biblical principle that we learn from the New Testament, and that is that grace reigns through righteousness, but never at the expense of it. You see, it's no use acting in an emotional, sentimental manner and saying, oh, let bygones be bygones and we'll just forget about the whole sordid business. Now, that's not the way to deal with it. So Joseph here is a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge. He knows how to handle the case when he has the power within his grasp. He's going to deal with the case, and he's going to deal with it graciously. He'll deal with his brethren correctly, and he's going to lead them right on until everything is brought out into the light and they make a full confession, and then there will be forgiveness. So we notice now how he has been dealing with them and how he's dealing with them now on their second visit. They stood before Joseph. Now I suggest to you here then, we must think of the fear of Joseph's brethren. Now as they stood before Joseph, they were trembling with fear. And you might ask this question, of what were they afraid? There were certain things that troubled their minds. Let me read you these verses and you'll see this point very clearly. Verse 18 says, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. That being so then, I suggest there are two things here that's troubling them, and they're in a good state of trouble and fear. First, they said it was because of money, because of the money that was returned in our sack. Then the second thing that's troubling them is the idea that a case may be made out against them. They may be accused. And if they are accused and condemned, then they might be held in Egypt to perform bond service in the land of Egypt. Now let me ask you, why should they be troubled in mind about these things? Now remember what I said before. Now get all the links in the chain. It was because of their love of money that they sold their brother Joseph 22 years before this. And all they got for him was 2 pieces of silver each, that's all. But they're still thinking in terms of money. And Joseph was the man who gave instructions to the steward of his house that when they had their sacks filled with corn, that the money they had brought to pay for the corn was to be back in their sacks. That money was put back in there, and when they got home, here was the money in their sacks. That troubled them. They knew it ought not to be there. They'd taken that money to pay for the corn. Now something was wrong. Who put the money in their sacks? How did it get there? They were troubled. Now when they come back down to Egypt and they're standing before Joseph, they're trembling. Surely this is the case now. The accusations will be read against them. All because of money. I wonder, did their mind go back again to that sordid occasion when they made the bargain with those who were travelling through with their caravans and they sold Joseph? I wonder now if they're thinking of that deal that they made with the slave traders when they sold their own brother because of envy and because of hatred and because of the love of money. They sold them for a few paltry pieces of silver. Now it's coming home to them. And they're saying here, he's brought us here to accuse us because of the money that was returned in our sacks. Now take this and get it very clearly, my friend, as you listen. Joseph was acting towards his brethren graciously yet firmly. He was seeing the thing come to pass that he had in mind. He wanted to bring conviction to their heart, that they might remember their wrongdoing. Not only remember it, but confess it, and have it put right. Now we're nearing that point. Now their conscience is troubled. They're thinking now that they're standing before the Lord of the land, whom they didn't know at this time to be their brother, and they're standing there and they're trembling. Another thing, when they sold him, they saw him carried away by the slave traders, carried away down to Egypt to be sold in the common slave market. And they said that day, as it were, as they rubbed their hands and counted their money, we've got rid of him. We're well rid of him. We'll have no further trouble with him and his dreams, or with him taking back the report to our father. We're well rid of him. He can be a slave now down in Egypt. No doubt about it. They laugh to themselves. However, the very thing that they intended for their brother, they are now afraid of for themselves. They're saying, this man wants now to bring an accusation against us. He wants to get an occasion against us, and he wants to fall upon us, and he wants to take us for bondmen, and he'll claim our asses, and he'll make us serve down here as bondmen, that is, as bond slaves. Well, all right. Isn't that exactly what they did with their brother? Didn't they sell their brother? Didn't they betray him? And now they're afraid that the very thing they did to their brother is the thing that's going to happen to them. And so they're trembling. So well they might. They're trembling. No doubt they're remembering now that he was carried down to Egypt as a bond slave, and here they find themselves in Egypt, and they're afraid they're going to be accused of the money. They're afraid they're going to be condemned and kept down in Egypt as bond slaves. The very thing they wanted for the brother is the thing they're afraid of now will come upon them. However, they begin to try and make excuses for themselves, and this is what they say. Verse 19 says, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. That is, before they went in. They said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. It came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. I wonder, did he notice that they were afraid and trembling? And so he speaks to them the word of peace. You know, actually, that's the word that Jacob's people use. They keep saying, peace, peace. But here's an Egyptian saying peace to them. Imagine an Egyptian in a place of authority saying peace to those who were the descendants of Jacob. Peace be to you. fear not. Your God and the God of your father had given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And so their brother Simeon, who was kept as a hostage, is brought out and reunited to them. And then there comes a kind of critical point in their meeting Joseph. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present. Now you remember what the present is. That's what their father told them to bring, the little balm and the little honey and the supply of a few of the things that could be procured during the time of famine. And so they brought him the present which he had brought down from the land of Canaan, and they brought it in their hand into the house. Oh, and here is an important thing, and they bowed themselves to him to the earth. The very thing they said they would never do. They said, "We'll never bow down to you, Joseph. Don't you think it for a moment." But now the years have passed, 22 years have come and gone, and here we find them bowing themselves to him to the earth. But remember, at this time, they didn't know who it was that they were bowing to. You know, there's a lot of people have never bowed the knee yet to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's perfectly true that when he was crucified, there were those who bowed the knee to him in mockery. Just in mockery, they bowed the knee and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." At the present time, there are those who have acknowledged him as Lord, and they've bowed their knees to the Lord, the King of Glory. But there will come a day when every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether they want to bow to him or not, they'll be compelled to bow, and they'll have to confess that he is Lord. Here we have a picture of Joseph's brethren. Whether they wanted to do it or not, or make no difference, they bowed themselves to him to the earth. That was the only way to acknowledge the man who was the Lord of the land. Then Joseph begins to speak to them, and he asked them of their welfare. "Are you living in peace?" And he said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive?" They answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health, he is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Again, I remind you, the very thing they said they wouldn't do is the thing they're now doing. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother, of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his heart did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out, and refrained himself, and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another, and he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. You see, here is the feast with its setting of beauty. There were 3 tables. There was one for Joseph, there was one for his brethren, and one for the Egyptians. Now, under these circumstances, again, they had to acknowledge the superiority of Joseph. Now, note this very carefully. They had acknowledged the superiority of Joseph by standing before him. Then they acknowledged his superiority by bowing down before him. And now they acknowledge his superiority while eating in his presence. Joseph sat at the upper table. Then the Egyptians who were eating with them sat at another table, and Joseph's brethren was given a table by themselves. However, there's a remarkable thing here. Joseph did something that they couldn't understand. He seems to instruct the men who were setting them at the table where to place them. They sat there, first of all, the firstborn. Then according to their birthright, that would be Reuben. And then there would be Simeon. And then there would be Levi. Then there would be Judah, and so on, right down the line until Benjamin, the youngest. And as these men looked, they could hardly believe it. It seemed to stagger them that there was somebody there who could place them according to their birthright. They were placed correctly at the table. But as they sat at their own table, and the Egyptians at their table, and Joseph at the upper table, here they had to acknowledge the superiority of Joseph. But now there's a tender little part here, and it's the way that Joseph treated Benjamin. Benjamin, you remember, was his young brother. Benjamin was the boy who was born when Rachel died. She called him Benoni, the son of my sorrow. His father called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And now Benjamin is placed at the table. And when it came time to send the portions, you'll find now that Joseph not only spoke a word of peace to young Benjamin, saying, "The Lord bless thee," but he went out and he wept. He couldn't keep himself from shedding a few tears, having seen his brother now after 22 years. No doubt a lot of changes had taken place in Benjamin, but Joseph was glad to see him. Now in sending the special portions to Benjamin and showing favor to him, it gave Joseph an opportunity of discovering the feelings of the other brethren towards Benjamin. He would be watching them, no doubt. I wonder what would they think when the special portions were sent to Benjamin. Now, if there was anything like the same hatred that they had shown to the firstborn, that is, to the firstborn of Rachel, who was Joseph, they hated him. They hated him because he wore the coat of many colors. I wonder now, would they still hate his brother Benjamin because favor was shown to him? Why did Benjamin get the special portions sent from the man who was the lord of the land? And so he's watching them. Thus, in providing this feast by Joseph, was just a little foretaste of better things to come, no doubt. There were still better things to come. But they still had to be brought to the point of complete confession before there could be a perfect reconciliation. Joseph is still trying them. He's still testing them. And he's still going to test them. And when we go into chapter 44, we'll discover how again he's going to test his brethren. And he'll lead them right on to the point where ultimately he will reveal himself to them and there will be that perfect reconciliation, feasting with Joseph the prince.